A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on July 23, 1989, in the series Human Transformation, the Gospel and AA, entitled Say Yes to God Who Has Said Yes to You. The scripture readings are Psalm 34 and 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 through chapter 6, verse 2. The text for the sermon are Psalm 34, verses 6 and 18, and 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 20. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
When I'm in the midst of a series like this, I'm always impressed that Scott Peck in his book, The Road Less Traveled, was right, that life is difficult. Life is difficult. It's not easy to be a human being, to be a person. Life is difficult. Sometimes maybe you hear it, maybe you say it. Pointing to someone, you say, he's weird. Or at another saying, she's strange. Or of someone else, I wonder what bugs them. Or of another, their behavior's bizarre. And we tend to judge one another. We tend to judge negatively one another. We put people down. It's not that he's not weird. It's not that she's not strange. But as a matter of fact, when we judge, when we criticize, we are doing so without really knowing what that person is living, what pressures impinge upon that life, what circumstances have woven the particular fabric of that life. What pressures, what circumstances, what vulnerabilities, what fears, what anxieties. We don't know about some tragedy, perhaps in infancy. We don't know about some deep hurt experienced in adolescence. And yet if we would stop to think, are we not all of us trying to avoid disaster and find some reasonable accommodation with life? My good friends, it is not easy, is it? Think about all of the mechanisms that we constitute in order to try and keep the ship going down somewhat in the middle. Our defense mechanisms, our humor that tries to keep people off guard, our reticence that comes through as aloofness or pride. Oh, I could go on and on. But it's not easy to be human. And I suppose that's why Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. Paul said, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And so I just want to begin this morning by saying, it's not easy to be human. And we need to care and support and love one another. We're all doing the best we can in our bumbling way, just to make, to cope, to survive. And if we're fortunate, maybe to succeed or even to thrive. But we all deal with that which has been given to us, which means that if it's good, it's all of grace. And if it's a tough lot, it makes it difficult, that much more difficult, to negotiate life's path. And so, we need to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And it's at this point, I think, that we can learn a couple of things from AA. The church is about human transformation. The gospel is about changing lives so that people can live more effectively. And the church is really about the total humanization of society. That's what we're here for. And so, what we need to do is learn from this organization that has learned from the gospel how that human transformation can be triggered. This isn't a message, again, I reiterate, for potential or present or recovering alcoholics. It's for human beings. And the point of this message is that once one has come to see that one's life is unmanageable, that self-control is to be out of control, and has come to see the possibility that there may be a power beyond oneself who could really change one's life, once one has come to that point, one is at the threshold of redemption or salvation or rescue or deliverance or freedom or whatever word one would choose. It's right at that point that the church can learn from AA. What is required is an openness to a power beyond oneself and a willingness, to the extent one is able, to the extent one understands, simply a willingness to turn over one's life to God. A willingness, an openness, to turn the reins of one's life over to God. And the church should learn from AA that it's best at this point to keep God just as ambiguous as possible. Because one doesn't come full-blown into a full knowledge of the 2,000 years of Christian history and Christian tradition. Problem with the church as it becomes a barrier to so many is precisely at the point of requiring that the I's be dotted and the T's be crossed and that there be a certain understanding and a certain conformity to a certain pattern of life and behavior before the doors are thrown open. When, as a matter of fact, we've got to get our arms wide open and our hearts wide open to anyone who is even at the point of saying, I am open to the possibility and I am willing to the extent that I understand. AA keeps it vague in that early initial stage. And too often, we have demanded more than could be expected. I remember in my very early ministry, there was a gentleman who lived in the marginal fringe of the church who had been prayed for many years. And in a particular evangelistic endeavor of the congregation, special prayers being offered to the great rejoicing of many, this person came to make a confession of faith. And I remember having him in my study. And he got to remember that I was very young once. And I was rather defensive at one time. And I was very conservative. And I was very uptight. And I needed to hear the right words. I wanted the formula to come out of his mouth. And so he sat across from me in my study, and I said all the things that had to be said so that one affirming that would be a Christian. And he affirmed it. But then I wasn't satisfied. I said to him, now let's pray. You pray first. What an awful thing to do. What a terrible thing to do to someone not fluent in the language of the Christian community, someone not comfortable with prayer, someone that can hardly mouth the word God. And I expected him to pray because I wanted to hear from his lips the right words. There was silence. Embarrassing silence. For 10 hours. Well, 10 seconds. But it seemed like 10 hours. And finally, he blurted out, I don't know what to say, but I'm here, ain't I? Thank God for that sledgehammer attack. God got through to me. And from that point on, I began to understand that maybe, as far as God's concerned, it's enough simply to say, I'm here, ain't I? No words, no cliches, but I'm here, ain't I? And there's a related lesson that we need to learn in the church from AA. And that is that at this point we are not talking about a moral issue. If one follows the AA program, one will get very deeply into moral issues, more deeply and more honestly than we would dare be in the church, frankly. But moral issues do not enter at this point. Those of us in the church, you know, are not the good folk. And those outside the church, the bad folk. We in the church are not the moral ones, and those outside the immoral ones. I mean, we are really, really no different than our neighbors who are not with us. Not much different anyway. I would say it probably is a toss-up. A decent Christian, a beautiful pagan, pretty hard to tell. On the back of our bulletin, Hans Kung's statement is that the line between good and evil runs through the world, through the community, through the church, and through the heart of the individual. The issue is not that we are good and some are bad. The issue is that we believe, and there are those who have not yet been able to believe. This is not a question of morality. But subtly, with our behavior, our body language, if not with our specific words, we have often reached out to those beyond our numbers and have said, come up and be like we are. Clean up your act and we'll accept you. Conform to our mode of behavior and you'll be accepted here. And that just simply builds the walls high and blocks entrance into this fellowship. For I suppose there are those out there that look at us and say, come there and be like you. No thanks. It's not an issue of morality. We're talking about openness, the possibility that God is and that God opened up to can change one's life. And then simply saying, I'm here, ain't I? The New Testament lesson this morning says it so clearly and so simply. Paul says it is the love of Christ that constrains us. For we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. One died for all, then are all dead, in order that they might not live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Because Paul says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Wow, that's some message. Did you hear it? Sometimes we get shaped by traditional evangelistic preaching, which says, believe and be saved. And there is some biblical warrant for that. And when we talk about conversion, when we talk about step three, we're talking about conversion. And when we're talking about conversion, we are talking about a decision. We are talking about an act of the will. But when I would say, believe and be saved, I might create the impression that it lies within you to believe and thus be saved, as though God is somewhere in the parapets of heaven waiting to see how you will respond, holding this gift of salvation, saying, believe and you get it. Don't believe and you don't get it. I don't find that in the New Testament. What do I find? I find that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. I find a God who has said yes to you and invites you to say yes to him. I don't find a God who has a salvation that he's willing to dispense to those who make themselves morally acceptable or intellectually honest or piously satisfying. I find a God whose gospel of grace was proclaimed by the Apostle Paul in the most radical fashion this way. God has said yes to you. And don't tell me, not me. God has said yes to you. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God beseeches you through us, said Paul, on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. You see, what had to be done has been done. Salvation is accomplished. Whatever God had to do, God has done in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul went throughout all the world making that declaration, making that pronouncement, saying what is, not what might be if. No, the good news of the gospel is God has said yes. God has said yes to you in Jesus Christ. God has said yes. And God will never say anything else. And God invites you to say yes in response. Well, as St. Paul said, that's an amazing love story. That's an amazing God. That is almost too good to be true. God has said yes to you and invites you to say yes in response. Nothing you can do, no performance to present, no achievements to list, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. All is done, all is over, and all is offered freely by a God whose grace will blow your mind. So, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It's as though God himself were pleading with you through me. Be reconciled to the God who in Jesus Christ is already in long since reconciled to you. That means he's your friend. Say yes.